Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When you build a house, you begin with the foundation. Good, solid foundation. Then on top of that house, you frame it all up. Where are the rooms going to go? And you have a frame for your house. And then you decorate it. You finish it off, and you finish it in a way that it reflects your home, your house. It is similar as we approach our lives with God's word. We build on a foundation, and that foundation we call the Bible, Holy Scriptures, God's word. We then frame up our house, so to speak, with what the scripture is trying to tell us. What's the lesson I need to learn? And then we decorate it. The Holy Spirit does an awesome job at beginning to help us understand how do we apply it in our lives. And like a house, even if the foundations of all your homes were the same, and the framing of the house was all the same, each house would be uniquely different. It would be you. The same way as we approach our text this morning, we will be looking at 2 Timothy. We will pull out some lessons that God is trying to teach us, and the Holy Spirit will decorate it in your hearts. So listen carefully. The decorations today will sound like Church Appreciation Day, but what Scripture is trying to tell each and every one of us applies to all here. Our starting point this morning begins at 2 Timothy 4:17, where Paul tells us, "But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it, and I was delivered from the lion's mouth." Through me. Through me. That's what Paul said. What is the message that Paul proclaims with such conviction? Why would Paul exchange his life of luxury and power to suffer, even give up his life for this message? Why is it so important to Paul to have all the world, both Jew and Gentile, hear this message? Why does God use such a chief of sinners, as Paul would refer to himself, to proclaim this divine, holy, precious, and eternal message? I often ask myself, why does God use me? He must have had some better options. So we start at the beginning. Through me, that is what fallen Adam must say. When we look at Adam's son, Cain, we see that the apple didn't fall from the tree. When Eve gave birth to Cain, she might have believed that he just might be the Savior of the world, the Savior that God had spoken of at the fall. Instead, Cain proved himself to be the son of fallen Adam. Cain was selfish in failing to give God his first fruits. He was jealous and angry because God accepted Abel's offering but not his. He was a hater, a murderer, and took his own brother's life. Adam's fall into sin had come to this: jealousy, hate, murder. Through Adam, his son, Cain was cursed. The stain of Cain's sin and curse could not be removed. It soaked into the ground. It soaked into his soul. It soaked into history through the ages. God said to Cain, "And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. Cain was convicted. My punishment is greater than I can bear. Through Adam, sin crouches at each of our doors. It is not only Cain who is cursed in Adam's sin, but we are as well, you and me. The desire to hate and harm our brother is great. We fail to love and honor our spouse. We seek out sexual sin. We dishonor our parents and other authorities. We are pulled to speak evil against one another in gossip and slander. We often hunger for the things of this world and put our trust in them for life and happiness. Through Adam, we are cursed. Through Adam, we all die. Adam, Eve, Cain, Abel, you, me, our children, and our children's children. We are lost and condemned to eternal judgment. But we can also say, through me, and these are the words of Jesus Christ, for our life and salvation. Jesus said this about himself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Sometimes we read these very familiar verses very quickly. But did you listen? All of life, all of creation, all of existence is seated in God taking on our flesh and rescuing each and every one of us from sin, death, and the devil. He accomplished this through his sacrificial death and his glorious resurrection. Followers of Jesus Christ do not believe in a God. No, Christians believe in the one true God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We are not Christian by being good people or being basically good. We are Christian through the gift of God in the shedding of his blood and the giving of his life for our salvation. We are not Christian by natural birth, but through the new birth of water and the word in holy baptism. The Christian faith is about the life and salvation God gives each of us, and through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus poured himself out as a drink offering for our sins. Your sins are now forgiven. Jesus bore the crown of thorns, shed his blood in payment for our disobedience. And as an old pastor back in my hometown growing up used to say, he did it on a grim and gory cross. The crown of righteousness is now yours. Jesus laid down his life in exchange for our eternal death. Jesus also rose from the dead on the third day. Eternal life is now yours. And on the last day, he will call your name, and you will be raised from the dead and live with Christ forever in body and soul. It is true, like Cain, our punishment is greater than we can bear. But Christ took the punishment we deserved upon himself. We now bear the mark of Christ as one redeemed by Christ, the crucified. In holy baptism, we are no longer the cursed sons of Adam. We are the adopted and redeemed sons and daughters of God in Christ Jesus to live with him forever. God inspired Paul to instruct us in Romans 10:9 with a marvelous truth from the prophet Joel. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you confess with your mouth. That's a long sentence for pray. Talk to God. Believe that he is the Lord, that he was raised from the dead. You will be saved. Paul continues in verse 14, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear about the Lord and salvation without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? Paul then quotes the prophet Isaiah, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. So Paul, in his own words, said it this way. So saving faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Okay, so we've laid the foundation. We have framed our home. Here's where church workers come in on Church Workers Appreciation Sunday. Just as Paul confessed so divinely, called and ordained pastors also confess. Through me, the message of Christ might be fully proclaimed, that all people might hear it, believe it, and have saving faith. God established the pastoral office through Jesus' own institution. He still mandates the pastoral office to this day. Pastors serve in this preaching office. Pastors are sent. Paul uses the Greek word apostello. This apostello, or sending, happens when God calls pastors into the pastoral ministry and calls them from one congregation to the next. The same way God is calling our next temporal shepherd to Redeemer. The same way he calls people into second careers to serve him. The preaching Paul is talking about is the preaching of the Word of God, centered on proclaiming Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Through the preached word of God's called and ordained pastors, the Holy Spirit, not the pastor, the Holy Spirit works saving faith in the life and soul of his people, in your life. Just to be clear, you need not have the title pastor to share the good news with people in your life who need to hear. Who are looking to hear it. Who are looking to hear it. The LCMS has established other important vocations in the church. We call pastors ordained ministers. We call all the other full-time LCMS church worker vocations commissioned ministers. For example, Laura Ross, who is just up with our children's message, Director of Christian Education. There's Deaconess and Deacon, Lutheran school teacher, Director of Christian Outreach, Director of Family Life Ministry, Director of Parish Music, Director of Church Ministries. We say these important, sacred, and joyful commissioned vocations are established in love by the church to support the office of the Holy Ministry. This is the day of the year that we express our appreciation and give thanks for all God's people in their various vocations. We say thanks to all of you in your various vocations, husbands, wives, parents, children, workers, employers, youth, widows. Have I left anybody out? Everyone. Luther names these in the table of duties in the small catechism. We have a staff at our church. Laura shared a little bit of those earlier. We want to say thanks for them. The director of Christian education, the DCE, instructs God's people with the true word of God and is an influencer of faith in their life, often with youth and teens. That's our DCE, Laura Ross. We give thanks for those who work in our preschool, Ellen Church, Susan Scarbeck, Joan Woolard, Jennifer Nels, Chloe Thaler. People who share God's love, not just education, but God's love, the message of the good news. For Leah Wiltonmuth, our choir director, Darlene, who plays the organ wonderfully each Sunday. For Carrie Frank, who, if you've ever been in that office or helped out, it is a madhouse of chaos. And she handles that wonderfully. Susan Biskamp, who takes dollar bills and transforms them into paying of bills and taking care of money. Something my wife doesn't allow me to do. It's a gift. She does it well. Sean Miller, digital communications, as we upgrade. We also don't forget Faith Marburger, our deaconess, who continues, while not paid, her ministry as a deaconess every day of the week and on Sunday. The deaconesses applies God's word with acts of mercy to women and children, the aged and the affirmed and more. On this LCMS Church Worker Appreciation Sunday, remember that the work of the church worker is honorable. It is sacred. It is joyful. Our church workers serve the God of salvation and proclaim a gospel that is the one needful thing for our life and salvation. Our church workers and each and every one of them are grounded in the life of Christ, not only his word, but living that life as a model for others. And God has promised to them and to all who believe in Christ that a crown of righteousness is laid up for them, not because of their merit, but because of the merit of Jesus Christ, whom they serve. In closing, we remember the words of Paul. Through me, the gospel might be fully proclaimed. We say this also of our church workers. Through them, the word of God is taught to us, in whom the Holy Spirit works saving faith. Today we give thanks to God and pray for our church workers who teach the gospel from one generation to the next. In all this, life and salvation, the one thing needful for the forgiveness of sins and our eternal life is Jesus Christ, who says to each of us here, through me, you have eternal life. Amen. We close in prayer. Father, I give you thanks and pray for all of the LCMS church workers who teach the gospel from one generation to the next. I pray that you give divine strength for all workers who serve in the church, that they will work hard in all that they do, and that people will see your love in every action they do. I pray that everything they do will be fruitful in Jesus' name. Lord, you know that currently the workers are few and the harvest is plentiful. I pray that your Spirit would move in the hearts of those you call to serve, so that they may step boldly and faithfully into service. Whether they are young people thinking of college, whether they are people like me where you follow that call as a second or even third career. Father, when you call us, may we faithfully respond, "Here am I." Illuminate your word in our heart that it may take root. Show each of us ourselves, considering your word, and show us our Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom our sins are forgiven and we have eternal life. Amen.